This morning, it's about 8 o'clock, and I was going to a horse auction in Harrisburg. I only mention that because it fits in with what I'm going to talk about. So I'm in my car, just pulling down the driveway, and my phone rings. And I thought, at first I thought it was Sally because I forgot something or I needed to do something. But it wasn't Sally. It was this man. And he says, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Fine." And he said, "Oh." And then he said, "I don't feel good." And I'm thinking, who is this guy? What's going on? And finally he says, "Yeah, I'm really sick. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be at church tonight." And, "Oh, it's the pastor." So then, So then he says, "Would you mind doing a small devotional?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean by a devotional?" And he says, "Well, sort of like preach." And I said, "Well, I'd be happy to do the message, but I don't understand devotional." I said, "I just don't. It happened to me years ago. A man asked me to do a devotional. I thought he meant just to pray, and that's what I did. And the guy looked at me like, well, where's the rest of the stuff?" He was like, "Well, that's all I have." So that's that. Let me read a verse, and then we'll get started here. The verse is from James chapter 2 and 3. "We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth." Let's just stop there. Long time ago, 1975, I was just coming to know the Lord. I had been, you don't need to hear about that. I was just coming to know the Lord, and my mother-in-law, Ethel Holtz, who Sally's mom, and who was here in this church forever, and when I used to say, "I don't know, I don't get into that clapping and all that stuff, I don't deal with that," and she said, "Fran, it's just different. It's just different. You have to look at it that way." And obviously, eventually, I did get that. It is different from what I grew up with, but I've come to say that it's better than what I grew up with. Anyway, she gives me this Bible. It's Christmas 1975. She gives me this Bible. It has my name on it. And she says, you should read this. And what a really nice thing to do. And I knew the Bible stories about Jonah and that stuff, but I didn't know. I couldn't have told you from 1 Thessalonians to Matthew. I had no idea. So, and she says, "It has a concordance in it." I thought, "Oh, what's that?" So Sally told me it has a listing of all the things in the Bible, all the topics and different verses and stuff like that. So, okay, so I get the Bible and I start looking at it. And I go to the concordance. What do you think I turn to? Horses. What do you think the verse is that I turn to? Matthew chapter 3, about putting a bit in a horse's mouth. That was the first thing I read in the Bible, not John or anything like that. So then, let me stop there. Let me go back a minute. Forgot that. So after I said yes this morning, and I said, "Yes, I'll do this," then I'm driving down the street and saying, "Should I really go to the horse auction? What am I gonna talk about? I don't have anything ready. I said I did, but I don't. And I just, what am I going to do?" So then I sort of calmed down a little. It's like, don't get panicky here. Get a cup of coffee and just calm down. I realized that I had this message prepared for Sunday afternoon at Cedarbrook. And I said, "I can use that, and I'll worry about Cedarbrook when Cedarbrook comes." So, as I thought about it, I had done some work for Cedarbrook. I had prepared some things. And I had decided that I was going to bring some things along in case you never saw a bit before. This is a bit. Okay, that's what they're talking about. That's what they put in the horse's mouth. I could pass it around, but it's clean. I'm not. Goes in the goes in the horse's mouth like this. Okay, these long things are so that the horse doesn't drag the bit through his mouth. Okay, which he could do. So that's that. It's called a snapple bit, in case you ever get asked that question. And then I thought, well, that's a very gentle bit. It's very, you know, it's not going to cause any problem. It's very easy on the horse's mouth. You can see that it's separated in the middle. It's pretty simple. If the horse is good, that's what he gets, snapple bit. If he's not good, he gets something like this. This is called a curb bit, this here. That gives you more leverage. And what you do is you take this chain and put it behind his chin, put it there. So he really doesn't have a lot of movement then, okay? Because when you pull back, he knows you're there. And this is to keep his mouth shut, to help in keeping his mouth shut. So you put it around the front of his face, and that's what you do. So that's it. You can go home now. So, you know, that message a long time ago, those words really struck me because it's so true. You know, and we can turn that horse wherever we want to go. We can do whatever we want. You can make him back up. You can make him go faster. You can turn him right. You can turn him left. You can do all kinds of things. But then as you read on in this chapter, you know, it talks about a small bit can do a lot of things. And then it says a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. So I'm not up here to speak for 45 minutes or a half an hour. If you have comments or questions, please feel free to raise your hand. If it's the same person all the time, I'm probably not going to recognize you. But we can do this together, or we can be out of here in the next 15 minutes. It's amazing. As I read through this again today, I couldn't help but think about those forest fires were out in California this summer, how many acres they destroyed. And I think it was two young boys who were playing with matches and destroyed hundreds, if not thousands, of acres, cost lives, destroyed homes. And when you stop and think about it, the tongue can do that also. The tongue can do that. You know, when you think back, I wasn't the best kid in school. And I probably said a lot of things to kids that weren't nice. And sometimes I pray about that and think, you know, I won't say the word. But it's frightening what our mouth can do. You know, there's a Scott Asep saying, you know. There was that little saying when we were kids, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And that is so wrong. Words can really mess you up. They can not only mess you up, they can mess other people up. Because some things that are said might live with the person for the rest of his or her life. And that's a huge burden to bear, to continue to think that we have done that to somebody and they may not ever get over it. On the other hand, we may say some words of encouragement to help somebody through a rough time and enable them to go on to some things that we never know. We'll just never know that we helped that person. As you go on a little bit further in chapter 3, it says, it is an uncontrollable evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessings and cursing comes pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. There were times, my wife says I shouldn't say things about myself. I shouldn't deprecate myself, but better me than somebody else. I can't tell you how many times, years gone by, that I've left here and said, why did it take so long? Why did the sermon go on so long? Why couldn't it just get done at 12 o'clock like I'm used to? Things like that are just like, really, what's wrong with you? Because, you know, that's what people do. My father used to say about church, he said, people pray on their knees on Sunday, and they pray on their neighbors on Monday. Now, that's deep when you think about it. But it's so true that we need to be good all the time. Our tones need to be the same all the time, not just in church. A man was at our house yesterday. He's doing some work for us while we're away. And we got talking about TV, which is really going downhill. It's been downhill, but it's going faster, I guess. And what we said was that the other night, I don't even know what show it was, probably some hospital show, and they started using my word, curse words. It's not that I never heard the words before, but I was offended. And I said to Sally, this is the beginning of what's going to happen on TV. It's the beginning. That shows are just going to keep putting words in that just keep coming and coming. And it's really what I consider the numbing of our society. That's what they do. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there, and before long, it's okay. And again, when I was like, I don't know, 11, 12, I started saying like words like hell to my mom or in my house. My mom would try to slap me, and I could grab her arm, and she couldn't slap me. And as I think back again, that was the beginning of a path that wasn't a good path. And that's what's happening on TV, even the programs that kids could watch. And it's just the way of the world. Everything is going to sex or cursing or filth or whatever, and that's what comes out of some people's mouths. And our role is to try not to do that, try to be a witness in this world to people that truly need God, and yet they're searching for everything, thinking that a TV show is going to make them happy or some other thing, and it's just crazy. So, yes. Oh, great. Not always, or not never. I hear that a lot. But anyway, thanks, Bob. Feel free to just jump in here. There's basically four types of tongues. Four types. There's controlled, caring, conniving, and careless. Okay, that's what can come out of our mouth. A controlled tongue is thinking before speaking. Now that's a true gift, to be able to think before we say something. How many times do maybe some of you, maybe not all, say something that comes out and you wish you could pull it back? You just wish you could pull it back. In the book, Jesus Calling, there's been something in the past maybe 2 weeks. It says, the one day it said, when you're uptight or when you're in an awkward situation, just say to yourself, Jesus, help me, before you speak. Now that takes discipline, and that takes, I think, of a lot of patience. The in Proverbs 15:16, it says, "Wise people think before they act," and that's something that we all could work on. Can you give me maybe a couple examples of people who have a controlled tongue? Biblical examples, famous people, famous ministers. You're making my point here. You're making my point. I thought of that as I coming here tonight, I thought, why am I bringing this up with the outlandish Twitters and all the other things that are going on? It's like, wait a minute. Did you have your hand up, Sally? Good. Can you imagine what's the things that he encountered with people confronting him the way he did and what he could have, what he thought, what he could do to them, and how he just tried to, he did respond sometimes very, sometimes quickly. But politicians, I think they're the freshwater, saltwater people. I think that they say nice things in front of other people when they go into another room and start ranting and raving. I shouldn't bring up football, sorry. It's not the Giants. I don't even like them. Anybody know who Mike Tomlin is? He's the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And evidently there's this real good receiver named Antonio Brown. And he's very good, and that's why he gets away with what he gets away with. And this Mike Tomlin considers himself, and I think he is, a real role model to youth and to people. He's a real role model. He really is. And evidently they were in the locker room, and this Antonio Brown was taking this video of people celebrating that they were going to the championship game. And Mike Tomlin's like standing over there, and he makes some comment with expletives and all in it about the Patriots. And now it's all over the news. And here he is trying to establish this great reputation to be this really good man and role model, and it's out there with him doing what he did. So controlled is something that we all have to work on. So many times I wish I hadn't said something to somebody because he could just feel the zing that went into it. It was like, oh, no. Caring. A caring tongue is one that speaks the truth, but does it in a way to encourage the person rather than to tear them down. And that's not an easy thing to do. Because sometimes if you have a job or you have supervisory responsibilities or children, you have to be able to correct them. You have to tell them what they did wrong, but you have to say it in a way that you help them. You don't push them down. Like, you always spill the milk. When you're correcting them, you can't do that. You have to try to encourage the person. And Proverbs 12:26 says, godly people give good advice to their friends. So good advice sometimes isn't always pleasant. All right? It's not. You could be a poor performer at work, and somebody has to talk to you about stepping it up. You can say it in a nice way, but you still have to tell them. You have to care about that person, but you have to try to help them. I was telling Sally on Saturday, we met some guy where I used to work. When I was at Fuller Company, which I think is extinct now, I had to lay people off. And I tried to be as nice as possible and tell people that, you know, you could have another opportunity. You may find something that you like. And this man walked into my office and he said, don't tell me any of your positive nonsense. Don't tell me any of that because I'm too young to retire and I'm too old to start over. So don't tell me anything about that. And I said, well, okay, but you know, there's probably opportunities out there. And a couple months went by, and one day the guy showed up. And he said, can I see you? And I said, sure, come on in. And he said, I just want to tell you, you told me some things when you laid me off, and I hated it. I didn't like it. But I now took a course in watch repair, and I love it, and it changed my whole life. It was like, you know, sometimes things work out. So I think the examples that Pastor talked about probably in the fall in Revelation, Jesus, whenever he talked to people in those churches, the first thing he did was say good things about them. He said good things. I know what you're doing. I know you're handling this. I know you're handling that. But you're not doing this. And he got the whole point across. And he said it in a way that they felt, they knew they did some good things. And then he said, you did some things I think need to be improved upon. Like you forgot your first love. You did this and you did that, but you forgot your first love. So there's ways to do that. And again, it's something I think at least I need to work on. Conniving, that's another one. But people have wrong motives. Gossip. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, control your tongue, have a long life, because a quick retort can ruin everything. You know, gossip. That's a big thing in anywhere. That's probably a big thing in this church. It's a big thing outside. When I was a kid, we used to go to our relatives' houses. And on the way home, much the same as Bob talked about, my parents, all they do is blast the people we were just with. It was like, wait a minute. I mean, I didn't say that. I just kept my mouth shut, finally. But that's what they did. I don't mean to, you know, be negative about them, but they did that. And I don't think that they're alone. I think it's something that sometimes we all have to overcome because, you know, we have to, and I'll get to this in a minute, but we have to be understanding of other people. We have to understand where they're coming from, what they're going through, and sometimes we don't even know that. We have no idea. A couple years ago, I read something in Reader's Digest, so it's more than a couple years ago. But the story went that these kids were on a train, and the father was there, and there was a couple ladies sitting in the seats across the aisle. And the kids were jumping up and down. They were hopping over the seats, and they were swinging on the pole, and they were carrying on. And the guy could hear these two people talking. Those kids are horrible. They're bad kids. They're not well-behaved. They're just bad. And finally, the one lady said, well, I'm going to say something to them. And she said, it's something like, it's a shame your children are so misbehaving and they're so bad. And he said, you know, I know they're carrying one right now, but they're upset because their mother just died. So you just never know what's going on, what's happening with other people. You just don't know. And then there's the careless people, the ones that do lies, curses, quick-tempered. That doesn't pertain to golf, quick-tempered. That's a whole nother thing. I'll go there in a minute. Lies, people tell lies all the time, maybe not here. But my mother used to say you tell little white lies. It's not really a lie. It's like, well, I can't go to get ice cream because I have to take Jimmy to baseball. And I don't want to go with ice cream with you. That's what she'd say. It was just a white lie. And cursing, of course, that's just out, but you hear it all the time. You know, many curse words have become part of the English language almost. My brother, he's pretty far from the Lord, and I pray for him in Sunday school. We pray for him. Sometimes when I go and play golf with him, and again, he's my brother. He's my brother. I think that I'm in church when I go with him. I really think I'm in church because his language is really, and I've said to him, you know, why don't you just knock it off? What do you mean? He doesn't even know what he's doing. I said, it's like being in church with you. So there's people that do that all the time. The man that I talked about earlier came to our house. He was here yesterday. He said he works with people other contractors, that they'll stand in your kitchen or living room or whatever and say the nicest, sweetest things about what he's going to do for the job. They'll walk out the door, and when they're going into their vehicle, they're cursing and ranting and raving about what these so-called people want. Just, he said, it's just horrible. I refuse to work with them. I don't want to work with them. So let's go back. You have any examples of caring people? People that speak the truth and still encourage people? You can make yourself, you can include yourself if you want. If I had to grade everybody here, I would say that we go in and out of controlled and caring. Okay? I don't think there's very many people that know the Lord that are conniving. Maybe occasionally, but I just don't buy that. And I think careless, except for golf, I think that lies, curses, quick-tempered. I don't think. Maybe quick-tempered. Shame. Absolutely. Well, we're always being watched. You know, in the workplace, in our neighborhoods, people are watching. And if we slip, then it's like, ha-ha, they're praying and telling us this and telling them that, and all of a sudden there's stress, and they're different. I think we have to be very, very careful all the time. I just read somewhere today, I couldn't tell you where, it said, think of heavenly thoughts, not thoughts of this earth. And if we could program ourselves to do more, if I could do more of that, to program myself to think more about than other things, I would maybe get to be doing better. I should touch on the golf just once. I've mentioned it three times now. And I try to play golf. I think I like it. I'm not really sure. One day I was out with three Christian men. And I try to be extra careful there. And I missed this putt. It's about that far. About that long. I missed it. And I took the golf ball was laying there. I took the putter and I whacked the golf ball. I hit it so far, just like I could hit it like that with other clubs. And I said things, hopefully to myself, but they knew what I was doing. And I felt so bad about that the Holy Spirit convicted me. I actually thought about, if I can't control myself, I shouldn't be out here. I shouldn't do this because this isn't fun. I can't come home upset about that. Okay. Oh, and careless. Saying things in the heat of the moment. That's another area that you can get. I shouldn't go there. But I should. I will. I don't remember a lot of things. I'm more of like yesterday. I remember yesterday. So if there's an argument, discussion, it's amazing to me how things can be so quick brought up. And I really think, and I'm not judging or anything, I really think that certain people, like my wife, have this computer chip in their head, that they got all this stuff instantaneously, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, I'll be honest, I just say I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, I'm sorry. Because it's amazing. I think we have to be very, very careful there. So moving on. So what type of words should we not say, should we not use? Certainly foul and abusive language, harsh words, rage, anger, complaining, arguing. Ephesians 4:28, 4:29, Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. What's amazing to me is this Bible, granted this is a different interpretation, this Bible was written probably thousands of years ago. And here it is. And then sometimes people say that the Bible isn't applicable to things of today. Well, here it is, right here. Don't do those things. Don't do them. Rage and anger. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And forgiveness sometimes might be hard. Somebody really wronged us, and we have to, at some point, forgive them, because it's only damaging us more than them. So there are just some of the words. Complaining and arguing. That's in Philippians 2:14. It says, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of a crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Complaining and arguing. How many times I say, I'm tired of this weather. I'm tired. It's so miserable outside. I'm tired. I'm so cold. I hate it. That's complaining. How many times does a discussion about the dreaded word politics end up in an argument? That's something to avoid like the plague. Probably if you talk about your favorite football team with somebody and their favorite football team. If I were to talk to William about the Minnesota Vikings, and I was a Giants fan, I'm not, we could go on, and hopefully we would stay calm about it. But sometimes somebody's going to hit a nerve, and it's going to be like, you didn't win that many Super Bowls. You never did because whatever. I know. That's why I said it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Exactly. What type of words should we use? Well, first of all, one of the words is encouragement, and I think I just read that in Ephesians 4:28. I think it said that we are to be encouraging one another, that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And again, we never know when we say something that can help somebody to do better or to try harder. We just never know. It may come easy to us. It's just something we should be looking to do all the time. Kindness and tender-hearted. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. We should try to have the joy of the Lord each and every day. And in Philippians 4:8, it says something I try to do. Because, before I read that, sometimes we can wake up not the greatest mood in the world. And the weather can dampen our spirits even more, or the coffee is bad, or something. It just isn't going right. Your shoelace could break when you go to tie it, or all kinds of things. But in Philippians 4:8, it says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So the challenge is, how do we change our thoughts? How do we go from those, like when I wake up sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm laying in bed, all of a sudden I have thoughts that I don't like. Thoughts of the past, things that I did wrong or I should have done better. You have to change how you think. You have to begin to think about things that are true and honorable and right, pure, lovely, admirable. James, Sunday morning. I'm not preaching Sunday morning, but I am going to say something. How many of you would agree with me that change is hard? Raise your hand. All right, so, okay. Yes, and that's okay because we didn't like it. And I'm not picking on you because I think everybody falls prey to that over something. We say, I don't agree with that. I don't know why. Why do we have to spend the money to get that? Why do we have to do that? Why can't we just have the hymnals? We have them right here. And my mother gave one of those hymnals to this church. So it goes on and on. Rush, yes, what do I think? I think it's our selfishness. That's what I think. I think that we want it the way we want it, and that's the way it is. And as far as people going to church, people have become very selfish. They make the excuse that they work longer hours, they have to drive further, they they have one day to relax and watch football, and so they don't come to church. Or they got mad at the pastor. They got mad because they put that thing up there and they don't have hymnals anymore and I want hymnals. Or it's too loud. Rush Jane was telling me a story about his and Carol's church, I think in Summit Lawn. Is that Summit Hill? Clark Summit. All right. I had Summit anyway. He said the people up there years ago complained so much that they couldn't decide whether they wanted stained glass windows or drapes. They got neither, and now all the pews are faded from the sun, okay? Because everybody wanted what they wanted, and it's just part of human nature. But I think it's our own selfishness. We want what we want. And we'll pick people that will agree with us, that we'll talk to. And then it becomes gossip. And then it becomes this, and it becomes that. People have left this church because the sound was too loud. It just goes on and on. It's the nature of people. One person who was here for a long time, and I'm not going to mention their name, but he said he left because of the people. He said, after a while, all the people get to be too much. And I'm just going to find a new church. I think the people here are very, very nice, but that's what he said, and that's, you know, kind of where it is. So perhaps in closing, I think the the real answer is that we have to work on this continually. We have to realize that words do matter. Maybe doing what the Jesus calling said last week or something, when we're ready to talk, think before we talk and say, Jesus, help me, and see if we can't do a better job. We're never going to graduate and that we're perfect. That's not happening. But in Ephesians 4:2, I think it sums it up very, very well. And it says, be humble and gentle. Humble to me and gentle means that we're not putting ourselves first. We're responsive to what other people want. We're understanding them. We're trying to work and help them. Be patient with each other. Be patient with each other. There's some people that complain all the time. And it's like, you know, you just want to get a 2x4 and say, look, knock it off. To them it does. Yeah. But again, it gets into what I believe is selfishness and self-pity and all those things. And that's a real trough when you get into that and don't realize how fortunate you are and how God has blessed you. I told this story a number of times. I'm going to tell it one more time, hopefully never again. My son calls me up. Well, he doesn't do it so much anymore, but there for a while, a year or two ago, he used to call me up and say, oh, this is horrible. I have this problem. These people don't get it. This isn't happening. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just horrible. It's horrible. My kids are, you know, off here and there. I get off the phone and say to Sally and myself, what am I going to do about this? How can I help them? What can I say? Rah, rah, rah. This happened like 3 or 4 times. Like each week I would hear this litany of issues. It's like, oh. Finally, I don't know, something must have been the Holy Spirit or something. I said to him, Scott, how many people do you think trade places with you? He said, what do you mean? I said, just what I said. How many millions of people would trade places with you? Oh, he goes like that. I said, did you ever think about people that, you know, live in a foreign country, they don't have enough to eat, they don't have enough clothing to wear? How many pair of pants do you have? How many pair of shoes do you have? How many sneakers? How many cars do you have? What's the big deal? If you compared yourself to other people, you went, oh, do you know he has not brought that stuff up to me since? We have talks now that are gone for quite a while, and they're very, very pleasant. But I don't hear, woe is me. Because sometimes we don't really think about how blessed we are. God has blessed us tremendously. And I told you too much. God has blessed us beyond belief. And I'm not talking about how many shoes you have or coats or whatever. God has given us his son to die on the cross, and he has chosen us to be part of his kingdom. That is beyond anything imaginable. And just to have that alone is fantastic, let alone what we have. This building, we all came or have access to some type of transportation. We didn't bring a horse and buggy here. That I saw thousands of people today buying horses to pull them along. And we're blessed, and sometimes I don't think we what's that song? We won't sing it. Count your blessings. Yeah, we won't sing it. But so getting back to this, be patient with each other, make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. We're all tainted. None of us are perfect. We all have issues. And I think, as Pastor says so often, we need to have love, we need to appreciate one another, and we need to do our best to understand where everybody else is coming from. The more we can do that, the more we're going to grow, the more we can be a message to this community. And that's all I have. So thank you very much. And you have to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. I know that Bernie Diehl's funeral is Saturday. Some of you may have gotten an email from Marge, so if you can help with that, that would be great. I think if some ladies can gather around Carol and pray for her because of what's happening in their life. We're very, very happy for you, but we're also very sad. But God's hand is on you, and I'm sure you'll continue to be a blessing where you're going. Steve Allen, you can pray for him. And anybody else that you can think of. Okay, some ladies can gather around Carol. We can pray for her. Men also, if you wish. Dear Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the love that's here in this church, Lord. And we now lift Carol and Russ up to you, dear God. We just put them in your hands, Lord. We know how much they love you and how much you love them. And Father, they've been given a tremendous opportunity for us to get a transfer to Florida, which will enable them to be close to their children and grandchildren and to just have a wonderful time. And although we're going to miss them, Lord, we thank you for letting us have them for a period of time. We thank you for all that they've done here. We thank you that their hand has touched many, many people here, dear God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give them a safe journey down there, help them with all their furniture and things as it gets transported. We just pray that they'll find the perfect house. We pray that Russ will enjoy his new position. We pray that Carol, whatever she decides to do, Lord, we pray that you will bless her in that, whether it be work or whether it's just going with the church, Lord. And we pray whatever church they go to, dear God, that you will open doors. You will let Carol and Russ be a blessing to that church. You will enable them to minister to ladies and to men. And you'll just provide them with your richest blessing, Lord, as they leave us and enter into a new world, which is guided and directed by you. And we just thank you for all you're going to do for them. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Steve Allen, dear God. We pray that your hand will be upon him as he's going through this chemo, Lord, which is different than some of the traditional chemotherapy. We just pray, Father, that he won't have any adverse reactions. We pray that the liver will react well to the chemo, dear God. And we just pray for Sharon, for Seth, and for Aaron. I just pray that your hand will be upon them, dear God. Give Steve peace about this, dear Lord. And Father, we miss him here, Lord. We just miss him, and we pray that he will come back to us. And we just ask you to help him to get beyond some of the things that are going on in his life. But bless him, dear God. Touch him right now. Cure this cancer, Lord, and help him to handle each day, knowing that you love him and care about him. And Father, we pray for Jackie Deal. She's going through the loss of her husband, Lord, and we just pray that you'll help her with her family. You'll help her with the funeral, dear God. And as she's without Bernie, dear God, help her to make the necessary adjustments in her life that will enable her to continue to serve you and yet to handle the loss of her husband, dear God. We pray, Lord, for Sunday morning, not only for the service, but for the lunch and the discussions about the remodeling or refurbishment of this church. Lord, we just pray that it will go well. And we pray, Lord, that even that through donations or pledges, dear God, that what is needed to redo this church, Lord, will be met. Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for our love for us, and we pray that we can go here in peace, dear God, and have traveling mercies and be able to come back and worship you again on Sunday. But Lord, be with us each day and each hour as you continue to love us and minister to us.